Hi, this is Cass. Welcome to the Curio Podcast, where two old friends hash out current events, politics, and whatever strikes our fancy. Visit us on Twitter at Podcast Curio. Join our Facebook page. Check out our website, curiopodcast.org. And don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.
I'm staring down at my palms. The lines I can't understand. You're hanging over the edge. Sicker than you planned.
Keep the podcast going. Know the words.
I don't either.
Hi, Kimmy.
Hey, Cass. How are you?
I'm good. I had the period from hell.
Oh, no.
And it's over now, and I feel 76% better than I did for like a week.
Was it long?
It was long.
Painful?
Painful. Really painful. I had anxiety. I had headaches. I wanted to kill people. The whole thing.
Yeah.
And it was doing that like starts and stops thing.
Oh, God.
So I feel like I'm close to the menopause, pretty close.
Yeah.
And I'm both scared and excited about it. I'm excited because I want my period to be done.
Yeah.
But I'm scared of what happens after that. But you seem perfectly fine. But you're not officially in menopause yet.
I'm not officially, not till July.
Right.
So I've got a few months to go. Couple months.
Couple months.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You're almost in full menopause.
Oh, we're going to have a party. Woohoo!
An online party?
Yeah.
Oh. Here we are with masks on.
Oh, well.
What are we talking about today?
All kinds of stuff.
Did you watch the Obama speech?
I did not watch it. I was afraid to.
Because of how much you would miss him?
Yes. I was afraid of the emotional upheaval that it would have caused. And that sounds really ridiculous now.
No, I understand that.
But at the time, I thought I wanted to watch it, but I thought I don't think I can. And I can always watch it on YouTube, but I read it instead. I read the transcript.
Oh, good. Yeah. But I think the way he speaks is emotional anyway.
Yeah.
It mostly was funny and very inspiring. I mean, you read it, but like he got to the part where he said... He was like giving the graduates advice, and he said, "Don't be afraid."
Yeah,
and that's what's been missing, that like father figure,
right,
of support, you know. And I instantly felt better that he said that, like I can trust him, and really, really sad that we don't have that from our current leader.
We don't get to have that right now.
So that inspired us to want to sort of compare, and I know people do that a lot, and it's not exactly fair, because one of these men is an imbecile, and the other one is a Harvard Law graduate and professor.
A constitutional law professor.
Constitutional law professor. So it's not really fair, but... We can do it anyway, because we can do whatever the fuck we want.
Right. And I think it's worth kind of thinking about how we want to be spoken to as American citizens.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah. Because we deserve respect. Right?
We do.
Yeah.
You are right.
Yeah. How do I want to be spoken to? I don't want to be spoken to like I'm an idiot or a subservient... person to this president.
Right.
I want to be spoken to as if I'm intelligent and I matter and my ideas matter and my life matters and not just the money I generate into the economy.
Wow. Or how good you look.
Right.
Because that's another big thing for him.
Oh my God.
People's appearances. Which is hilarious because, look in the mirror, dude.
Hello.
Hello.
Nancy Pelosi had a little something to say about this, too.
I didn't see the clip, but I heard about it later, and I was like, oh, damn, she's mad.
Oh, and she knows how to,
yeah, she knows how to push his buttons. She's the perfect person for right now, don't you think?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. And she'd been kind of, you know, cruising along
there for a while.
And then all of a sudden it was like...
And I was thinking today about Chuck Schumer, and, you know, he's fine or whatever, but he's not a fighter.
And no.
He doesn't really stand up to the president. He's just kind of sitting around in the background right now. Or Nancy Pelosi's like, fuck this.
Right. There's some edgy fearlessness to that woman. She really...
Thank God.
She really gives zero fucks, I think, in some way.
Well, she came up in the political scene of the, you know, 1970s and San Francisco, Harvey Milk era, right. All that. So, you know.
And she's a woman. She's had to fight harder for everything she's achieved.
Right.
Especially in American politics.
Right.
So
she's... Being a woman.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do some compare and contrast. Hilarious. Locked outside of the door. Asleep behind both eyes. I'd love to hear what you had to say. I'd try.
President Obama in the Rose Garden with remarks on H1N1 swine flu.
Before I say a few words about the meeting we just had, I'd like to mention some good news that came out today about our economy. For the first time in 18 months, our manufacturing sector has expanded. And the statistics used to measure manufacturing output is the highest it's been in over 2 years. This means greater production of transportation equipment like cars and electronic equipment like computers and appliances. Means these companies are starting to invest more and produce more, and it is a sign that we're on the path to economic recovery. Now, there's no doubt that we have a long way to go, and I and the other members of this administration will not let up until those Americans who are looking for jobs can find them. But this is another important sign that we're heading in the right direction and that the steps we've taken to bring our economy back from the brink are working. Now, we just had a good meeting about our ongoing efforts to prepare this country for the H1N1 flu virus this fall. And I want to thank John Brennan, our CDC Director Tom Frieden, and Secretaries Sebelius, Napolitano, Duncan, and Locke for all the good work that they've been doing to get us ready today. As I said when we saw the first cases of this virus back in the spring, I don't want anybody to be alarmed. But I do want everybody to be prepared. We know that we usually get a second, larger wave of these flu viruses in the fall, and so response plans have been put in place across all levels of government. Our plans and decisions are based on the best scientific information available, and as the situation changes, we will continue to update the public. And we're also making steady progress on developing a safe and effective H1N1 flu vaccine, and we expect a flu shot program will begin soon. This program will be completely voluntary, but it will be strongly recommended. For all that we do in the federal government, however, every American has a role to play in responding to this virus. We need state and local governments on the front lines to make antiviral medications and vaccines available and be ready to take whatever steps are necessary to support the healthcare system. We need hospitals and healthcare providers to continue preparing for an increased patient load and to take steps to protect healthcare workers. We need families and businesses to ensure that they have plans in place if a family member, a child, or a co-worker contracts the flu and needs to stay home.
So it goes on from there.
Most importantly, we need everyone to get informed about individual risk factors. And we need
So it goes on from there. But he doesn't take personal credit for anything.
No.
He lays it all across everyone, himself, the people in his administration, all of the governors, individual people. Right. He doesn't blame anyone for anything. He's saying, let's just get ready.
Yeah. This is what we're doing to get ready. This is what I need you guys to do to get ready. This is what we're going to do in case some, you know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. a plan.
So the swine flu was the last pandemic, the last global pandemic. But we here in the U.S., and it was part of the regular flu cycle.
It was. I remember.
It was just a strain, like a mutated strain of the Spanish flu. So it was deadly. It had the potential to be terrible.
Right.
But because of their quick action and their preparation, I'm going to say this, and it sounds horrible, only 12,000 people died during that
right.
pandemic here in the U.S. Right. Worldwide total was gigantic. But because we had pandemic response teams, we had the CDC working with the government, working with the president, we had the president not blaming other people and not taking responsibility, we had way fewer deaths than other countries.
And it wasn't, I mean, it was a big deal, but it wasn't, it never felt like it was unmanageable. I remember that. Josh's, yeah. My son's, at his school, it hit the school.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots of kids out. And I remember him coming home and saying, you know, so Josh, were there a lot of kids absent today? And he'd be like, yeah, teacher said that, you know, a third of the kids were out today or whatever. He got it. He had it.
Josh had the swine flu?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
He had it. And yeah, we had to put our dog down, like, and I had to stay home with him. I remember the whole thing because there was a bunch of messed up stuff happening. Anyway. Mm-hmm. But it never felt like it was unmanageable. Like, okay, so we just do the next right thing.
Right.
Okay, so he's looking kind of sick. He's staying home today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's got a fever. He's going to stay home for more than 24 hours after that fever is gone.
Right.
You know, it was, people were talking about it. It was, it didn't feel totally out of control.
No. All right. Here is President Trump during this pandemic at one of his little hate rallies.
Is it one of his daily briefings or?
It was. Okay. And I think we've talked about this specific exchange. Hold on.
I'm drinking wine.
Are saying the exact same thing about you, that you should have warned them the virus was spreading like wildfire through the month of February instead of holding rallies with thousands of people. Why did you wait so long
to warn them? Who are you with?
And why did you not have social distancing until March 16th?
Who are you with?
I'm Weijia Jiang with CBS News.
So if you look at what I did in terms of cutting off or banning China from coming in.
Chinese nationals. But by the way, not Americans who are also coming from China.
Nice and easy. Just relax.
Oh, my God.
We cut it off. People were amazed. These gentlemen, everybody was amazed that I did it. We were very early. Oh, I'm the president. And you know what I just did? And you know what I just...
And by the way, when you issued the ban, the virus was already here.
Okay, and you know how many people, when I issued the ban? How many cases of virus were in the United States when I issued the ban? Do you know the number? How many cases? Remember I said one person. How many cases were here when I issued the ban?
You have to do your research.
How many?
I did my research. On the 23rd of March, you said you knew this was going to be a pandemic.
Can I tell you what? Well, I did know it. I did know it. All I have to do is look.
Anybody
knew it. Just, are you ready? How many cases were in the United States when I did my ban? How many people had died in the United States?
So do you acknowledge that you didn't think...
Keep your voice down, please.
Spread?
Keep your voice down.
Did you not...
How many cases were in the United States? I did a ban where I'm closing up the entire country. How many people died?
And that's a fair point.
How many people died in the United States? And yet I closed up the country, and I believe there were no deaths, zero deaths at the time I closed up the country. Nobody was there. And you should say thank you very much for good judgment. Go ahead, please.
There was no testing.
Right.
Oh my God, that just made me want to vomit and punch things and...
It's like every bad personality trait that a man could have, he has them, and they were all displayed in that small clip.
Yeah. All of them.
Narcissism, egotistical, sexism.
Stupidism.
Bully, stupidism.
God.
Jerk.
Oh, the way he spoke to her was so disrespectful and so dismissive and so...
And every time I've seen her ask a question, he talks about China back to her.
Right, like...
Like his brain is so racist. His neural pathways are so grooved in with racism that he can't even not think about China when he looks at her face.
Right. And he was told to focus on that in those conferences.
Well, I saw a memo today that went out to Republicans explaining how to talk about the virus.
Right.
Talk about it as though it's the China virus.
Mm-hmm.
Blame China.
Yep.
Don't blame Trump. Blame China.
Right. It's all China's fault.
Like, they've got a propaganda thing going.
They don't want to make him mad.
It's got to be more than that.
Because he'll fire them. It's like we're being held hostage by a moronic turd.
A moronic turd? You need more wine. All right. Here is...
Oh, God.
I've got two more clips. One Obama, one Trump.
Governor Malloy, my condolences on behalf of the nation, and made it clear he will have every single resource that he needs to investigate this heinous crime, care for the victims, counsel their families. We've endured too many of these tragedies in the past few years, and each time I learn the news, I react not as a president, but as anybody else would. As a parent. And that was especially true today. I know there's not a parent in America who doesn't feel the same overwhelming grief that I do. The majority of those who died today were children. Beautiful little kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old.
He's crying right there.
They had their entire lives ahead of them. Birthdays, graduations, weddings, kids of their own.
This whole time he's wiping away tears.
Right.
I'll stop it. It goes on, and it's very emotional. Obviously, it's about the Sandy Hook massacre. And I just wanted to play that because I remember at the time not even thinking it was so amazing that a man could act like that, but being comforted that he felt the grief that we felt.
Yeah. That he was as horrified by it as was appropriate to be horrified by. I mean, anyone with a soul would have been horrified by that.
Right.
And he made it very, very clear that
he
was on our side. He was with the parents. He was with...
Okay, and then here's my last clip of Trump offering condolences to Indonesia. Let me pull it up here.
He hasn't offered...
Before we take questions, I want to extend our warmest condolences to...
Warmest.
The country of Indonesia. Friend of mine, we're going to be calling up the leader, who is a great leader indeed. But they got hit by a giant tsunami. Like people have... not seen. This part of the world hasn't seen it so much, fortunately. They say that's the worst of all. You look at the tornadoes, the hurricanes, you look at all of the different natural disasters. A friend of mine who studies natural disasters,
friend
I don't know
mine.
Why he does that, but he does. He says that tsunami is the worst of all, and they got hit very hard, and probably thousands of people killed. We have already sent
a lot of
first responders and military and others to help. But it's a really bad, bad situation. And finally, before closing, I want to send our thoughts and prayers to the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. That was a horrible, horrible time in the life of our country. Took place exactly 1 year ago today. All of America is grieving for the lives lost and for the families they left behind.
He's
so to
that.
All of those families and to the people of Las Vegas, we love you. We are with you. We're working with you very hard. That was a terrible, terrible event. So thank you very much for that.
Okay.
Thank you very much for what?
I have a comment about that.
Okay.
He's talking about the tsunami in Indonesia and what a terrible tsunami it was and how horrible all these people died. And he's focused on the tsunami and how bad it was and how horrible it was and blah, 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 blah. And then he talks about the shooting in Las Vegas. And it's not about how horrible it is that someone took shots and killed a bunch of people. It was just a dark time in American history, and our thoughts and prayers for those families. And it was a different narrative for each situation.
Yeah.
There was a lot of drama around the Indonesian tsunami.
Well, it was almost like he respects the tsunami more than he is appalled by the loss of death. He's, oh, tsunamis are the biggest. Like,
right.
Because that's what he's all about. The
right.
biggest winning whatever.
Exactly.
He was impressed by the tsunami.
Right. The tsunami was a different thing because it was so big and it didn't happen here. And it was bad. Oh, God. There has to be a team of psychologists out there, psychiatrists.
There is.
That are just spending hours picking apart his sick.
There are body language experts. Yeah,
brain.
I mean, everybody's picking it all apart going, ah!
He's
a malignant narcissist. There's narcissism and then there's malignant narcissism. And that's the kind that Adolf Hitler had. It includes sadism. It includes having to be cruel to people, enjoying that cruelty.
Awesome.
That's what he has. So I was just really like, I made an event out of the Obama commencement 2020 speech. I ordered food.
Aww.
I set up the YouTube East Coast feed so we could watch it at 5 instead of 8. We had beers and I watched the whole hour. It was a silly, you know, graduation special for kids since they don't get to graduate. But his speech was so, it was like a comfortable warm blanket I got to put back on for 12 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And when it was over, I was crying and just thinking to myself, everything fucking sucks right now.
Right.
It didn't have to suck this bad. Anybody else would have been better than him. Better than Trump.
Yeah.
We lost 12,000 people in 20 months of swine flu. So far today.
Oh, God.
As of today, I checked earlier and it was at 90,340. And then I checked a few hours later and it was 91,985.
Oh, my God.
It had gone up in a couple of hours.
So, and these numbers are not real time. That's my understanding. It takes a few days for these numbers to hit, you know, to be.
And they're saying
processed.
These numbers are probably actually lower if they start looking at pneumonia and things
Absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah, everybody has said that, you know, before we started testing, there were deaths in the U.S. due to COVID-19. And then all of the deaths that happened because of COVID-19 of untested people after we knew about it. I mean, it's way bigger than is being reported.
Did you hear Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is asking investigators to go back to December and look at what's it called after you die and they give you a...
Postmortem? No.
It's called that.
Autopsy?
Autopsy reports... to people who died of pneumonia on their death certificates. They're going to go back and look at those reports to see?
I asked that question like
we all
weeks
did.
Ago.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, Kimmy's going to read us some quotes. Woohoo!
Okay, so
me. Cheers.
Cheers. Here's to something.
Here's to getting drunk during the pandemic.
Dude. Oh my God. People are acting like this, like if I go out and act normal, it will disappear. That's how I feel. Like, all these fools in Orange County pissing and moaning because they can't go to the beach and they can't get their freaking pedicures.
Fuck off.
Is that really the greatest hardship you've ever had in your life?
Probably.
Is that really tragic to you? Like, what the hell? You would never survive freaking the 1890s.
Or the 1940s.
Or the 1940s. Oh, my God. These people just blow.
They'd never survive having to drive a manual stick shift car.
Right. They're wusses.
All right. What do you got for us, Kimmy?
So I looked at two speeches, both just transcripts. I didn't listen to them. And I just kind of looked for wording and how they both speak, which mm-hmm. is very, very different.
Right.
Trump talks a lot about what he does. If it's a positive thing, he has done it. Only him, not we.
Like nobody's ever seen before?
Right. And there's a lot of big words, like, and I don't mean like complicated words. I mean like tremendous, huge, great, mm-hmm. enormous. If it's something that's a problem, it's we.
Oh.
Or they. Or he names somebody in particular. And in that way, he's very divisive. So when the good things happen and he talks about him doing it, his followers hook into that mm-hmm. and they see themselves as on his side, part of his base. So they get to share that I or me.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Obama talked about real things. you know, he names names. He talks about facts. He has dates. He's got the information.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear and concise. When he talks about having a problem, it's we're going to work together. I talked to so-and-so and we decided this together, or we have to work together to get this solved. And it's all collaborative.
Mm-hmm.
When he does do something, he owns it with an I.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you know, if things are going well, it's we as a nation have done this.
I mean, that's his whole shtick, though, is community building.
Right.
So,
which isn't surprising. But if you think about it in terms of the two of them and how divisive Trump is, Obama desperately tried to unify this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he had it down, every bit of it, from mm-hmm. what I could tell, except he's black. And that ostracized every fucked up racist asshole in this country. They yep. couldn't see past the color of his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that ostracized them even more. They, in my mind, they disenfranchised themselves.
Yeah.
They were invited to the party, mm-hmm. but they decided not to come.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they're a bunch of fucking pussies.
I heard Meghan McCain, she's on The View now, not that I watch it, but I heard that she said something about Obama starting a culture war.
What?
I have no specifics. I have no information beyond that, but that's a common thing that the racists like to say, that it was his fault that race relations have fallen apart because he's black?
No, that's fucking bullshit.
No, it's bullshit, but they want to believe that, and they say it covering up for their racism, wherein they think that a black man should not have ever been president.
Right, there wouldn't be a race war if all the white people were treated as if they were special.
Right.
And better.
That's what they're saying. Like, he should never have been president, basically, is what she was saying. Her father would be so disappointed in her.
I don't understand that. I saw rumblings of it on Twitter, but yeah. I didn't look into it because I just didn't even want to go there. There's been a lot of bad news.
There's been a lot of bad news.
Past couple days.
But anyway, your quotes.
Sorry.
Your speeches. No, right. It's okay.
Okay, I gotta fix my mask and my glasses, huh? So this is from April 15th, 2020, press briefing with the Coronavirus Task Force. This is Trump.
April 20th, you said?
April 15th, 2020. Okay. Oh, God. Okay, thank you very much. Please, thank you. A big day today at the White House. All of American society is engaged and mobilized in the war against the invisible enemy.
Oh my God.
While we must remain vigilant, it is clear that our aggressive strategy is working, and very strongly working, I might add.
So, like nobody's ever seen before?
Right. And that's, you know, a linguist would have a field day with that one particular
passage.
But, yeah, so the whole war against an invisible enemy. So that raises one's anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if it's a war, then why aren't people willing to make concessions and
sacrifices? Yeah.
Anyway, so that was his opening. And then later in the speech, he says, it's been a horrible time to see such death and destruction, especially when you come out of what was the greatest economy in the history of the world. The greatest. There's never been an economy like what we had produced, but we'll produce it again. And I think we'll produce it again very fast. It's been horrible. It's been a horrible time to see the death and destruction. Okay, it has been. Can you offer condolences?
But the way he worded that is strange. It's been a horrible time.
The grammatical.
But not only grammatical, it's like he's trying to always avoid blame.
Oh, yeah, of course. He doesn't take responsibility for anything. But he goes on to about the economy and how it was the greatest economy in the world. He doesn't say.
Of all time. He says,
right. It has been a horrible time of death and destruction, of death of American citizens. He has yet to offer condolences to the families.
Not one.
Of the people who have died.
Nope.
I heard a clip on the radio today that they're starting to realize that, oh, wow, we haven't honored the victims of this pandemic at all.
Mm-mm.
In America.
Mm-mm.
There have been no, you mentioned this in the last podcast, they don't say their names, they don't show their pictures on the news, there's nothing.
Mm-mm.
It's as if they're just dying.
They're just gone.
Yeah.
It's like one of those dystopian thrillers where 3% of the population's gone all of a sudden and nobody knows what happened.
Right.
That's what's happening.
What are those families thinking?
I'm sure everyone is so, it's like when something really terrible happens, it's hard to do anything else. It's hard to think about anything else than the terrible thing that just happened.
Right.
I'm hoping that they aren't thinking about what President Trump is saying or not saying. I hope that they are taking care of themselves and that their communities are supporting them. Nobody's ever going to get anything out of him. We have to stop wanting that because it's never going to happen.
Right. And that kind of goes back to the idea of an authoritative figure in one's life, who is comforting Obama.
Right.
Kind, compassionate, insightful, intelligent. Or the authoritative figure who is verbally abusive, not so smart, very short-sighted, very self-consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you rather have?
Right.
You know, it's like the punitive God or the kind, compassionate God.
But some people want that, obviously.
In Christianity. Well, yeah, because if they're on that side, it gives them power, a false sense of power.
Oh, they're on the winning team.
They're on the winning team.
Oh, okay.
No matter how bad that team is fucking losing. Losers. Okay. I touched my screen and now my picture's gone. So, let's see. Here's another one. My administration is also distributing vast amounts of medical supplies to states across the country through Project Airbridge. His project names are the lamest ever, by the way. I just gotta say. Which has been an amazing process.
We have completed
44 flights, and those are flights of very, very large airplanes. Massive cargo planes. 44 flights of critical supplies as of today. An additional 56 scheduled in the near future. We have some very brilliant people working on this. It's logistically incredible what they've done. Logistically incredible what they've done. Okay. We've also been working on this with the military, and these people have been the genius of all of them together. It has been incredible to watch. Okay, so borderline incoherent, off topic, and my administration distributing vast amounts of medical supplies, which was a lie.
It's a lie, yeah.
Also,
he had the National Guard working to help out distributing supplies and things like that. He fired them all today, you know, sent them back off their way. You know, National Guard comes out when there's a need and goes back to their regular lives when the need is gone.
Right.
They would have started collecting their benefits tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
He fired them today and sent them back home.
Do these people understand that they just got hosed?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know. He's not making friends. Every day, it seems like he throws another group of people under the bus.
But then everybody just goes, oh, next horrible thing.
Right.
And they make excuses for all of it. And then that thing becomes the new normal. Almost 100,000 people right. have died.
Right.
And we're not screaming about that?
Right. Well, some people are. But not the right people. Well, not the people who are...
have the most leeway?
Right. He goes on to say, my administration is using every available authority to accelerate the development, study, and delivery of therapies. So important therapies, treatments, and ultimately, what we want to come up with is a safe vaccine. But frankly, the therapies, to me, are the most important because it takes care of people right now. The vaccines have to be tested. So it takes a longer period of time.
You can tell when he's reading the script and then when he goes off script.
Yeah. And you can see it when he's speaking.
In his face. Yeah.
Because he can't read. He can't read ahead and look up and speak.
No.
Or use the teleprompter. So when he's reading from the script, he is staring at it. He
right.
never, ever looks up. The minute he looks up, you're guaranteed to get some fucking nutball word salad thing. Because it's just filter-free Trump brain barf that's coming out of his head.
Right.
His mouth.
I'm wonderful brain barf.
Right, exactly. So, oh God, it's so embarrassing. And we have a lot of patients who recover, and they're so happy to have recovered that the first thing they do is say, we want to give our blood.
What the fuck?
And they do that. It's incredible. We have thousands of people that are doing that. They recover and they feel that they have an obligation because they've gotten such great care. And a lot of them didn't think they were going to make it. So somehow...
I think he's talking about helping out with the
plasma.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But it's, we have a lot of patients. Not there are a lot of people who recover. We have a lot of patients who recover.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't talk about people as if they're people, human beings.
Yeah.
He talks about them as if they are things. Oh, he's such a sick man. And if you've heard what's coming out of the Voice of America, it's disgusting. What things they're saying... Wait, sorry. Sometimes it's hard to read transcripts of what he says because it's not... doesn't make any sense. What? Things they are... they are disgusting toward our country, and Michael Pack would get in and he'd do a great job, but he's been waiting 2 years now. Can't get him approved. Using the word disgusting, like another entity in our country, right?
Right.
Calling what they're saying is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of his words, his things, his
nasty,
divisive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's so gross. I've been waiting for 2.5 years, 3 years, for some of these people, and they're great people. They've left law firms. They left jobs. They give up everything to do it. And they've been waiting for 3 years, 2 years, 2.5 years, 2 years, 1 year to get approved. It's ridiculous. What the fuck? What's up with all the years? And everything's a quantity to him. A quantity.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he goes on to talk about the economy. He never talks about the people, the families that are left behind, the economic distress, and how it affects the human beings in our country, the Americans in our country. It's just, it's disgusting.
It's nasty.
And then he's talking about, we want to get our country open again. We want to have our sports leagues open. You want to watch sports. It's important. We miss sports. We miss everything. We want to get back. That was a paragraph right there.
He's a child. That's how a child would think about this.
God.
I want to go outside.
But we have a lot of great thought that went into these calls. And he's talking about calls that people are trying to think about how to restart the nation again.
Oh, okay.
We have a lot of great thought that went into those calls, and a lot of questions came out, and also statements, very strong statements, as to what they recommend. I think it was a great day. We did a lot of calling with a lot of very prominent people, but more importantly, very smart people and people that love our country.
Holy fucking shit.
Dude, problem solving.
He's dumb as a bag of rocks.
I can't.
You can't?
He just... Oh, God, he's horrible. So, and then this is... these are some excerpts. Sorry, wine. From Obama's speech.
How very dare you.
February 9th, 2010, news conference on congressional gridlock. We all understand that there are legitimate and genuine differences between the parties, but despite the political posturing that often paralyzes this town, there are many issues open which we could all agree. That's what the American people are demanding of us. I think they're tired every day of every day being election day in Washington. And at this critical time in our country, the people sent us here to expect us here... expect a seriousness of purpose that transcends petty politics.
Wow.
That makes sense to me.
All those words go together good.
That's why I'm going to continue to seek the best ideas from either party as we work to tackle the pressing challenges ahead. I am confident, for example, that when 1 in 10 of our fellow citizens can't work, We should be able to come together and help businesses create more jobs.
Wow.
I mean,
there's also heartfelt intent behind those words as well. He's not saying them so that he gets reelected and doesn't get indicted by the state of New York. He's saying them because he actually
cares.
He actually wants people to have jobs, right? Because he cares about them.
And he says one in 10 people can't find a job. So the numbers are there and they make sense and they're not inflated. It's not many, many people. Lots and
more than anyone's ever seen.
Exactly. It's We also talked about restoring fiscal responsibility. Okay. How many words in that sentence are there that Trump doesn't even
understand?
Know,
yeah.
Right? There are a few matters on which there is as much vigorous bipartisan agreement, at least in public, but unfortunately, there's also a lot of partisan wrangling behind closed doors. This is what we know for sure. For us to solve this extraordinary problem that is so many years in the making, it's going to take the cooperation of both parties. It's not going to happen any other way.
Aww.
No blaming. He didn't name call. He didn't blame the Democrats. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was responsibility taken there.
I mean, that's the whole job. The whole job is that you're the dude where everything, the responsibility lays with you. Lies right. With you? Lays. Lies? Oh, that one always confuses me.
The responsibility
lies.
Is singular.
Lie?
The responsibilities lie. The responsibility lay.
Really?
Yeah. Responsibilities is plural.
I know, but there's a difference between lay and lie.
Oh.
And we misuse them sometimes.
Oh, we need to have another grammar.
Oh, yeah.
Episode. And this is one little bit out of the speech. Math is not partisan. I was reading this and that was just in bright red letters in my mind. Like, math is not partisan.
Neither is science.
Right?
Neither is a virus.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good Lord.
So he goes on to talk about working together and, you know, there's humor. There's over and over again, bipartisanship, Democrats and Republicans working together. We need to work together to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. This is not a partisan issue. This is an American citizen issue. Like, golly. And then he starts taking questions from the press.
And he's kind and respectful to them?
So he says at the end, my hope is that this will be the first of a series of meetings that I have with leadership of both parties of Congress. We've got to get past the tired debates that have plagued our politics and left behind nothing but soaring debt and mounting challenges, greater hardships among American people, and extraordinary frustrations among the American people. Those frustrations are what led me to run for president, and as long as I am here in Washington, I intend to try to make this government work on their behalf.
Aww.
And then he says, so, you know, I'm going to take a couple of questions, guys. He's talking to the press. Major, and I don't know who that is. And so he asks a very intricate question, you know, lots of big words.
Right.
Not a simple question to answer. And Obama answers him with a full answer, a full paragraph. There's no name calling. There's no
blame.
There's no blame. There's no
hyperbole.
Right. There's, oh my God.
Clinton was really good at that too. Do you remember how smart Clinton was in a surprising way? Where he looks kind of like an okie dokie, whatever kind of guy. And then he would just break into some, you know.
Right.
Complex whatever.
Right.
Obama had the same skill, I guess. He knew a lot about a lot of things.
And he was very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, you felt like you could talk to him, mm-hmm. and that he would take you seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like he did for the most part, even though he's, you know, probably one of the smartest, most intelligent, stable geniuses our country's ever seen.
You forgot handsome.
And handsome. But, yeah, just reading how he handled the questions from the reporters.
Well, I mean, as a constitutional scholar, he understands the value of a free press. He talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas the free press is a wound on Donald Trump's fragile ego.
Oh, yeah, because they challenge him right. more and more these days, which is really good to see. But, yeah, just to... Oh, gosh.
Did you hear about the investigators, the general investigating...
Oh, yeah, the...
The IGs.
Yes.
What is... Inspector Generals, that's what it is.
Inspector General...
Hello, Wine. They've fired... He has fired two of them in the past few days.
Two?
Yeah. Not just the one that was investigating Pompeo and his wife and their favors and whatever.
Oh, God. I thought there was another one. I mean, I thought he was the only one.
No. He fired the Inspector General for the Department of Transportation that was investigating Elaine Chao, who was Mitch McConnell's wife.
Oh, wow.
They were being investigated because she was sending money, more money to Kentucky to help get Mitch reelected because he's so unpopular there.
Right.
So they were being investigated. That one went under the radar because the one with Pompeo is more bombastic and he was selling arms to the Saudis and, you know, whatever. It's like this huge story and Elaine Chao's scandal kind of got swept aside, like all of the scandals do these days. But yeah, two in the past week or so.
Oh my gosh.
That's very serious for our democracy.
Yeah, they're dismantling the rule of law real fast.
Really fast.
Really fast.
I mean, it's been a slow roll up until now.
And meanwhile, Mitt Romney's like, you know, this is not okay. You shouldn't do that. You're like, Mitt, put your freaking foot down. Grow a pair, buddy.
He's just a gentle soul. That's all.
He is. And I don't mean to bash Mitt, but we really need some of these Republicans to, you know.
To stand up, yeah.
There has to be a tipping. If there is not a tipping point, we're going to tip into an oligarchy or a dictatorship.
I mean, I would argue that we're there right now. We have the election coming up, which might save us. We'll have a lot of repair work to do, but I would say with the takeover of the Supreme Court and the firing of all of these inspector generals. Why do I keep saying investigative generals? That's a weird title.
Well, they investigate things.
Anyway, I would say that we're right there. If we're not there, we're teetering on the edge of that. That's... Democracies are fragile things. They require a lot of checks and balances.
Right.
And right now we basically have none.
Right.
And men will be men, and they will try and seek as much power as they can get. If it was just Trump doing it by himself, that would be one thing. But it's not. It's
oh no.
Pompeo and it's Barr and it's Kavanaugh, it's
Lindsey Graham.
McConnell, Lindsey Graham, they're all working together, which makes it more insidious and more conspiratorial and more dastardly.
Right.
It's like a fucking spy movie where the government actually is a cabal of corrupt politicians. And we're all just sitting around waiting for an election.
Right. Exactly. That it's, I don't believe it will matter. I really don't. I want to believe that the election is going to make a difference and it's going to matter. But if he does not get reelected, he won't leave. Yeah. I truly believe he won't leave. He'll say that it was a corrupt election.
He's already planting those seeds.
He'll gum up the works one way or another. And the whole deal with him calling for investigations into Obama and the Obama administration, I was like, holy hell. He doesn't think he's leaving.
Because, but that's what dictators do.
Right. Because what he's doing is he's setting a precedent. And mm-hmm. if you set a precedent that former presidents can be investigated, then you too can be investigated.
He's going to be anyway.
Investigated?
I mean, there are investigations waiting in the state of New York for when he's no longer president.
There's a whole buttload in the queue, and every day there should be more stacking up.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he'll leave. I don't think he'll leave. And if they try to make him leave, he'll call in the militia. Wow. Paul brought this up to me the other day, and it freaked me out because he doesn't like to go there. He's kind of like, yeah, it's all going to be fine. It's going to... And he looked me straight in the eye and he said, what should we do? Yeah. How are we going to protect ourselves? And I was like, what? I'm the one that's supposed to be all
freaked out.
That.
Yeah.
You're the guy that's just kind of cruising along. So, yeah, what do we do? And I've thought about it. How is this country going to look in 5 years? What rights will we have lost in 5 years?
Because they've been wearing us down, scandal after scandal after scandal. Too much information. We can't handle it all. We're not looking at all the little things that are happening. Families are still fucking being separated at the border.
Yeah, he was talking about it. He was tweeting about the freaking wall the other day. And I was like, dude, are you serious?
Right.
A virus came into our country and has killed thousands.
And not from Mexico.
Not from Mexico. You have not kept us safe. You had an opportunity to keep us safe. And you blew it. And now you're going to tell us the wall is going to do it? Like,
he would never want to keep us safe unless it meant there was something in it for him, i.e. political advantage. If he could change things that happened, knowing that if he tried to save lives, it would look better for an election. He might do that. But I don't think he would. If you were to say, like, oh, you're going to get reelected, you don't have to worry about it, but would you like to go back in time and...
Well, no, it's whatever's going to make him the most money.
Right.
And be the, you know, give him the most time to eat hamburgers and watch cable news and get his hair done. I mean, how much time does he spend on that hairdo every day? That's what I want to know, too.
I wish somebody would just, like, throw a Molotov cocktail at it. Like, oh, I shouldn't say that. But not him. I don't want him to hurt. I just want his hair to burn off.
Oh, yeah, like... a magnifying glass.
Yeah, just
right,
like
from some, yeah, just the sun and a magnifying glass.
I mean,
glass.
It's got to be really brittle. If somebody just like smashed it or like rubbed their hand against it, wouldn't it just kind of like flickle off into little bits and particles?
I don't know.
It's so ugly. It's like the ugliest hairdo I've ever seen.
It's terrible. And can you imagine what it looks like when he washes it? Like one side has got to be like 3 feet long. I always think of that, like, it does, it's like, oh, God, it's a sick kind of beehive hairdo.
It's a beehive, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a beehive hairdo, and the spray tan, and the spray tan goggle white
marks.
Oh, God.
I mean, you've seen that picture where they've taken that color that's around his eyes and made his whole face into that color, and what he looks like? He looks like a ghost. He looks like he's ill in some way.
Well, he probably is. Well, yeah.
I mean, he's definitely
obviously.
Ill.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, we can do anything, Americans. Just about. Maybe we can't go out without a mask.
Yeah.
Maybe we can't get a pedicure or a tattoo or a massage. But, you know, we can do a lot of things right now that... I'm going to bet money that we're not going to be able to do in 5 to 10 years.
Wow.
Like read a real journalistic piece of news or purchase a gun or let's
wait,
see.
Did else? You hear about his potatoes?
Oh, yes. I have a clip of that. The potato. What was that about? They're trying to take away your Second Amendment rights. And, oh my God, what was it?
You've got to protect the potatoes.
Got to protect the potatoes.
But what's funny is that that potatoes, or was it tomatoes? Which one was it?
It was potatoes.
That brought down Dan Quayle. Remember what? Dan Quayle?
Yeah.
He was telling a little kid that it, you didn't need the E at the end if you're making it plural.
Oh, God, that's right. Yeah.
I might. Be careful. I might. I'll be there. We're going after Virginia with your crazy governor. We're going after Virginia. They want to take your Second Amendment away. You know that, right? You'll have nobody guarding your potatoes. As he...
What an idiot!
What does that mean? Nobody guarding your potatoes in Virginia.
He doesn't know. You think he actually cares about the Second Amendment?
No.
It's a buzz phrase for him.
And he doesn't care about abortion either.
No. He doesn't give shit about abortion.
A man who cheated on his wife with a porn star.
Raw dogged her, by the way. No protection.
Oh, God.
While his wife was pregnant. Yeah, no, he doesn't give a shit.
Right. You think he cares about how many women has he paid off to have an abortion?
Here's what I want to know. All these people protesting having to wear masks and not be able to go to restaurants and stuff. And their main thing is, like, the government's taking away our civil liberties. That's what they're saying, right? Like, forcing people to wear a mask in public is taking away their civil liberties.
Right.
What's the difference?
Between having laws about somebody's body?
Yeah. How come their body is more important than my body?
It's not. And that's the thing. We are entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. As long as those things, as we pursue them, do not interfere with somebody else's ability to pursue those things.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No.
They don't care. I saw a sign by a protester, "My freedom is more important than your health." It was a real sign.
Oh my God.
Masks are for dogs.
And slaves. I saw that slaves. One. And it was a picture of a black woman wearing.
Yes. Masks are dogs or for dogs and slaves. I'm a human being. And it was some freaking dumb ass bottle blonde Karen punk ass trick bitch who needed to have her fucking brain removed.
I had to explain what a Karen is to Doug today. I've been ordering wine from wine.com.
You accidentally have been ordering wine?
No. I've been ordering.
Oh, no. Here it is again.
Whoops.
How did you get here? Come on. Let's go to the kitchen.
I've been ordering wine from wine.com, and I accidentally ordered Pinot Grigio instead of Pinot Noir, right?
Uh-oh.
And we drink red wine here. We do not drink the green whatever bullshit punch wine here.
Whoa.
But there it was. It sat in the refrigerator for like a week and a half, and we didn't have any wine for dinner last night, and I had made like an Italian style dinner. And Doug was like, "Oh, is there any wine?" "No, just that white shit in the fridge." And he's like, "Oh, let me have some." And I'm like, "Ugh." So I had a little bit with him, like just the bottom of the glass, like just to see what it was. And I was like, "This is terrible. This is like, it should be mixed with 7-Up and ice. It's not, you know what I mean?
Where's the Boone's Farm label?"
He ended up drinking most of the bottle. When I got up this morning and was making my coffee, I went in to get the creamer, and I was like 3/4 of the bottle was gone. And I'm like, "God, what a Karen." And when he got home, from work, he was like, "I had a headache from that stupid white wine." And I'm like, "You're a Karen now." And he's like, "What are you talking about? What is that?" And so I was like,
"He drank the white wine."
I was like, it's like a white woman, kind of racist in her 40s, maybe. She calls the cops on people.
Entitled, misinformed, wine drinking, middle aged white woman.
Right. And I was trying to explain that. I go, "She's the one that's going to ask to speak to your manager. She's going to have fake fucking nails. She's going to have some angular, right, weird haircut." And he was like, "Oh." And I go, "And she drinks white wine."
Yep. Oh, yeah. Karen and her "I want to speak to the manager" haircut. Oh God. When I first figured out who Karen was, mm-hmm. I was like, my mind was like a Rolodex
of people, brrr, you know,
stop. Oh, brrr, oh, yeah. Like, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some Karens. And I had to ask my daughter, I'm like, Chloe, am I Karen? She's like, no,
no.
Like, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anti-vaxxers.
They wear flag paraphernalia on their bodies.
Yeah, things get bedazzled.
I think you're thinking of old things, though. Do people still bedazzle things?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe not. Oh.
Well, we should wrap it up. Yeah. Any last thoughts?
I think that President Obama was the last decent president our country will ever see.
Really? You really think that?
Right now, yeah.
Wow.
And that makes me sad to say, but I'm
like, hopeless.
What the fuck?
Wow, Kimmy, I'm sorry. I think we just need to get a woman elected, and we'll be all pleasantly surprised at how much better our lives would be.
Yeah, if we get to have free elections ever again.
Oh, that was the other thing that happened. Georgia, right? They're falsifying their
Georgia
COVID numbers. They canceled a special election this week.
Right.
And reopened their state in the same week.
Right.
You can go to a restaurant, but you can't vote there.
You can go to a restaurant, you can't vote, and the pandemic numbers are going up. None of that makes any sense whatsoever.
So now the governor, Kemp, who was the Secretary of State when he was running against Stacey Abrams. Uh-huh. Adams? Abrams? Abrams?
Abrams.
Stacey Abrams. He was the one that ran his own election to become governor, right? And irregularities were crazy. Everyone knows. He basically got himself elected. So... what was I saying? Hello, wine. Oh, so he installed himself as governor and then canceled this election. Now he gets to install.
Oh, yes.
A state supreme justice.
Yeah. Bad news. Bad freaking news.
That's supposed to be an elected position in the state of Georgia. He's right. Now just installing a person.
Yep.
He was installed. He installed himself.
Yep.
What the fuck, Georgia? That's my final thought. What the fuck, Georgia?
What the fuck, Georgia? What the fuck, America?
Dude!
Oh.
Bye!
Bye.
You sound so sad.